The Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you know that God is good to you, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you know that the word of God is lifting you up, say another amen.
Amen.
I want us to do something. Can we just quickly rise to our feet? Let us commence today. We're going to be standing for a long time. If you're tired, you can sit down. But let us just begin the word of God. Let me start out today by saying that there's something we often forget to do, and I just want to encourage every Christian, every believer, never to forget it. When you wake up in the morning, all right, wet your day. What did I say? Wet your day. There's a saying in the western part of Nigeria. They say that if you want to step on cool ground, you pour water ahead of you. You understand? If you want your ground to be cool, you sprinkle water into the places where you want to step upon. Remember what I said earlier? Prayer is not, we are asking God to do that which He does not want to do. Even though it appears, if you read the scriptures, it might appear as if God was actually going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, let Him just stop by and let somebody... He said, let Him just stop by. And then Abraham now tried to persuade Him so that He wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The truth is that was not really the way it was. You understand? What God ended up proving to us through Abraham was to let us know that Sodom and Gomorrah was not salvageable, and that was why He refused to salvage it. And you will see when God said that, I sought for a man to stand between me, all right, and this land as an intercessor so that I will not pour my wrath upon it. What does that tell you? He did not want to do it. I don't know whether you got what I'm saying there. He didn't want to destroy. Do you understand my point? He didn't want to. But because the way the events of this earth had progressed, and as a judge of the earth, He had to do what was necessary. That was why He looked for somebody to tell Him not to do what actually He would rather not do, but which judgment determined, all right, that He must do it. So let me say it again. What we are doing when we are praying is to just simply, now notice that, tell God, do that which you actually want to do. Not, you know, I've been begging you on this matter for the last 6 weeks. When are you going to change your mind? Do you understand? God really doesn't change His mind like that. That's the way it is. Why am I emphasizing that again? So that we'll remember. I was saying at the beginning, every morning when you wake up, declare upon the day what God wants to do concerning that day. You say, how do I know God wants me to go to Maiduguri that day? Don't worry about the specifics. Christians worry too much about specifics. If God didn't declare specifics, don't bother declaring specifics. You understand? If He says that this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's good enough. Don't say, today, I heard that seven of my cousins had children. You understand my point? If that's what will make you glad, God knows how to arrange it. Are you getting my point? What to just do that morning is just simply declare, this day I will be glad in the name of Jesus. I will rejoice. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you say, God will show me favor today. Declare, God will, that's what you just do. You wake up in the morning. As I go out, the angels of God, they are watching over me. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. I declare in the name of Jesus that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lack is not my portion today. Doors will open for me, doors of blessing. I will not only be blessed today, I will have opportunities to be a blessing to somebody. It's very important you declare that also. Not only will you be blessed, but you are going to have opportunities that day to be a blessing to somebody. Today I will walk in righteousness. Today I am delivered from all evil. I will not be led into temptation, but I will have the power to overcome every evil. I will not do evil today in the name of Jesus. I have the strength to overcome every temptation. Lack is not my portion. All the plagues that are running up and down, none of them is my portion. Look, you are just, I make it a habit. Are you getting my point? Make it a habit. Make it a habit. When they tell you, how are you? You understand? The normal English word is fine. Let your own fine be a fine that comes from the bottom of your heart because you believe that is what the word of God is saying. Somebody greets you, how are you? Stop saying fine. You understand? Just say things like, I am well. Are you getting my point? Now, it's nothing wrong with fine. Nothing wrong with I am fine. But you are trying to change your brain, all right, from that reflex talking into something that you created out of revelation. So if you say, how are you? Say, it is well with me. How are you? I am well. How are you? God is good. How are you? Favor is following me. How are you? Are you getting my point? create something. You know, many years ago, no, not so many years ago, maybe someone last year or 2 years ago, if you know, if you greet me or I'm greeting you, I always tell you it is well with you. Yes, you know, because I know, in quotes, now all of us are priests of God, all right? But I know my words are powerful as a servant of God, as a priest of God. You understand? So if I'm greeting somebody, I tell you it is well with you. It's not a greeting, it's a prophetic word. I'm warning you that it's going to be well with you. You get to my point? Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. Look, just check it. Unless I haven't greeted in the last 1 year or 2 years, my greeting is, it is well with you. I know there are some of our brethren, the way they answer is, amen. It's not thank you, sir. If I greet Kingsley and tell him, it is well with you, he will leave whatever he's saying and pause and say, amen. If I tell him 10 times in a day, he will tell you, amen, amen, amen. It's not like, thank you, sir. It's not a greeting. It's a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word. It's my job, all right, to prophesy the blessings of God upon the people of God. And that's why I make it a habit. If you greet me on the way, I will tell you it is well with you. All right? So you receive it according to your faith. I remember once, Bishop Odeko, I went to Winners Chapel. This is in Lagos, Breakthrough Seminar. And one young man came one day, said, me having this mental block, something like that. His head was always under tension. He was seriously afflicted, not a joke. So he wanted Bishop to pray for him. And then, you may as well try to get an American visa. And you guys, I don't know whether you get one of these. I mean, you can imagine the multitude. How do you find him? You know what the young man did? He went and stood near the door where Bishop Oyedepo was going to pass. So as the man was just walking into church, so he was standing there. So out of just courtesy, the man just said, how are you? Something like that. And the young man looked and said, I'm fine. And instantly he was healed. They came to give the testimony. Not somebody said what happened to somebody somewhere one day when they were not there and then they told the story later. No. He said, the man just looked in the direction and said, how are you? And he looked at him back and said, I am fine. And instantly he felt something snap away from his head. All the demons ran away. They disappeared. You're getting my point? Listen, these words are very powerful. Are you getting my point? Your mouth is very powerful. Don't use it recklessly. Don't use it recklessly. What did I say? Don't use it recklessly. I wake up in the morning. Why did they put my shoes now? This house, they will never leave my shoes. Where I keep them? What is wrong with them? Can I just leave these shoes? This shoe, what is this shoe doing to them now? I don't know. God save me from these people that are carrying away my shoes. 5 minutes in the morning, quarreling over your shoes. Shoes, 5 minutes in the morning. If the shoe worries you so much, tell the shoe, this shoe, stop living where I keep you. I mean, it sounds funny, but these words are very prophetic. You know shoes here? Shoes here? In fact, everything here is. One thing I know is trees here. Trees, they hear. Your pocket hears. Your body hears. It's not only your ears that hear. In fact, your ear hears its own hearing before it transmits to the rest of the body. You don't have to have ears to hear. You know what I mean? Physical ears. That's why, how do I know that Jesus went to a tree? So any fruits there? Nothing. So nobody will eat from here again. And the tree just quickly died by itself. The tree talked to itself. Say, boys, let's just die. Let's just die. Let's just... let's just die. Why? It heard the word. Are you getting my point? Your car hears you. Your car hears. You tell the car, listen, you are a blessing, you are not a curse. The blessing of God makes rich and doesn't add sorrows. I listened to one man of God once. He said, size kind of money. And his neighbor said, that engine is giving a knocking sign. So he got quiet. He told the man, he didn't answer the man. He came down, laid a hand on the engine, and warned the knocking sound to disappear. The neighbor's engine knocked the next day. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. That is one. Look, things here. No, that thing here is not a joke. This spirit is a prowl around looking for whom they might devour. That's what the Bible says. You resist him how? Steadfast in your faith. He comes telling you stories. When you drive it away, Jesus said that when you drive out an evil spirit, it goes to many places. You go walking through dry places looking for what? for rest. If it's an engine knocking spirit, if you can't knock your engine, it knocks your neighbor's own. Unless he knows how to resist, steadfast in faith. So what you do as a habit is what? Resist. As a habit, do what?
Resist.
As a habit, do what?
Resist.
Don't be diagnosing problems or you're having a headache. Start giving you diagnosis. If you have a friend as a doctor, don't tell him your problems. And tell somebody who doesn't know anything more than come to church. But the doctor will tell you what is peradventure wrong with you, 17 differential diagnoses. Tell somebody that only goes to church. That one is better. I've been having a headache for some time. Let me pray with you. You know, the first thing the doctor does, when did it start? It's on one side of which side of the head? Does it move from here to there? What improves it and what worsens it? What time of the day do you... You know, that's how they were taught in school. Trying to give a name to your headache. When you finish it, this headache fits the demon of migraine. And many people say, by saying that they say, amen. The demon say, thank you. I was thinking you guys would chase me away. Thank you. So should I prescribe a medicine for you? So when you see a doctor coming with your head, just leave the guy alone. Hey, doctor, say, how are you doing? I'm fine. move. It is well. When somebody goes to church, say, hey, brother, I better come. Listen, this is my head there. It needs attention. And two of you, we join hands and do what? And pray. When I talk like this, people say, are you sure you're a doctor? Believe me, I'm one. And it's the reason why I talk like this. They tell you, don't eat sugar. The Lord is good. Last time I went for my convention, we were eating breakfast. So somebody said, oh, no, don't put sugar in. You know, like, I don't want sugar, or I want just one cube. So I took the second cube of sugar, tossed it into my mouth, and crushed it, and chewed it, and swallowed it. Monkey, what are you doing? I'm proving to you, this is good. One of the things I told you some months ago, let me say it again. Don't wake up in the morning and curse your food. Now people curse their food these days. This is fattening. This causes cancer. This has cholesterol. This one is this. This one, by the time they finish, no food is edible. My friend who was here last time, that's last Tuesday, he said something. He said his sister, she lives in the U.S., that she went into this diet thing so much at a time the children became anemic. Eat red meat, it's bad for you. White meat, okay, maybe it's good for you. Eat this one, it was not grown in an organic fashion. And these so-called organic foods, they are so expensive if you live in the U.S. Normal egg, Phoebe, I've forgotten the price, but I don't know, one crate of egg, I can't remember, but let's assume that's an example. A crate of eggs in the U.S. as an example, I'm not very certain. Assume it's $5. If you're to buy organic eggs, it would be like $20. So the little money you do not have, you just start pursuing things you cannot afford. Why? You want to live long. You have enough food to live long, but too little money to live long. I don't know whether you get the point. What should I do? You are asking me. Simple. Eat what is said before you, without asking questions. If God gives you $5, say, I'm not buying no organic egg. Enter shop. I have more resistance than the unbelievers. All of them are eating the inorganic eggs and they are not dead. I will live much longer than them because the Spirit of Christ is in me. He said, are you not tempting the Lord thy God? No, I am obeying the Lord my God. Because people who are believing, they don't know what they are saying to. So stop cursing your food. Bless it when you receive it. If I like one thing, also, Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, once you give him food, and I learned that even before I heard it from him, once you give him food, he will never complain. You know why? Because he said once he went somewhere, you know, like to visit. So they served food and they began to eat. And his host was trying to make excuse for maybe, oh, sorry, Brother Smith, maybe the salt is not enough. The man said, stop. We have given thanks for this food. We can't complain. They wanted to say, "Would you like more salt?" The man said, "I don't want anything. Leave this food." Once I say, "Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I'm eating it without, as if there's stone inside. The stone was meant to cleanse my intestine." The man will eat the stone. It sounds extreme, but I pray you will understand life like this. Believe me, it will change the taste of food in your mouth. And that's not supposed to be a joke. I mean it. It will change the taste of food in your mouth. So stop cursing your food. What do you do to your food? You bless it. Literally bless the food. How do you bless the food? With thanksgiving. Derek Prince said something. It struck me when I was listening to it. He said, you notice that Jesus never prayed to multiply food. He prayed for the sick. He shouted for Lazarus. When he came for food, he just gave thanks. And the food met the needs of everybody present. He did not say, "This food I hereby command you. You know I am the Son of God. Don't try me." He didn't do that. He just took the food and did what? He gave thanks. And the food said, "Oh boy, they don't thank God for us. So we better behave ourselves. You need more food? Take. You need more food? Take. You need more food? Take." The food refused to finish. And this there are modern day testimonies about that. There's one man of God I've told you about before. He gave a testimony when I was listening to him. He said there was a time, you know, they were having a lot of guests in the house. You understand? People were coming to the house. It was the days of, you know, SARP. Things were rough. He was, you know, he didn't have much money and all of that. And then he had a bag of rice in the house. And they kept on taking from that bag of rice, and the rice wouldn't finish. They kept, that is, the rice lasted so long. Then one day the wife said, you this bag of rice, won't you finish? That day it finished. The rest had ears. We were all the, I believe what happened. All the while they were just thanking God. "Father, we thank you. And all the people who are coming to our home, we thank you that we have something to give them." As they were saying it, the rest was rearranging. They said, "Lord, we thank you. The rest will rearrange. More people will come. The rest will rearrange." Then one day the woman looked and said, "This rice, which kind of abami rice is this one?" If you speak, you know what I'm going to say. Literally means, which kind of strange rice is this? The woman, she said, "Won't you finish the rice?" "Okay, sorry, ma." It finished that day. Listen, learn to give thanks. Stop cursing your food. Egg is good for you. Amen?
Amen.
All you need to do to make sure it's good for you, just thank God. When they bring the egg, say, "Lord, I thank you for this egg. I am eating it into long life and prosperity. In the name of Jesus, eat it." They give you sugar. Thank God for it. Eat it. Hey, what I want to say sounds funny. If you understand the revelation of this, you eat food and lose weight. That if that's what's good for you, no, believe me. Believe me. I know what I'm saying. And I don't mean that as a joke. You can choke on vegetables, you say grow fatter. What I'm telling you is not a joke. You must learn to address your food with the word of God. This food has been given to me to be a blessing. The blessing of God makes rich and does not add cancer with it. It does not add high blood pressure. It does not add high cholesterol. If the cholesterol is high, it's good for me. I need it. That's not a joke. I mean it. You have to love and respect God more than you respect all these confused scientists and doctors, changing their minds every 10 years. That's what they do. If you follow it enough, I told you that they say every man after the age of 50, you should be checking your PSA to check whether your prostate is good or bad every year. 3 years ago, they said it is nothing better than the toss of a coin. The man who invented the test said it has been the most colossal waste of public funds ever. He invented the test. After watching it for decades, he said, "This thing is a waste of time. That you will do as well if you just go to the doctor. They say, okay, give me a coin. Tumbon, tumbon, do you have cancer?" The blood say, "You get." "Tumbon, tumbon, you not? No, you not get. You know, just toss it up and down." The man says, "Simply, just live your life. If you have problems, come and see the doctor. Until then, oh boy, keep on trucking." And this was after years of telling us, "If you don't do it, you're dead. If you don't do it, you're dead." They say, "Go for mammography, check your breast, so damn deep, blah, 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 blah." After a long time, you know what they said? They have found out that the death rate from breast cancer did not drop one bit. They now reverse and say, "Well, it looks like that thing is not working." You know what they now said? "It appears as if we catch things too early. We now catch things that are so early that they are not planning to be cancer. They only look like it." You say, "Pastor Mark, I'm getting confused." That is the idea. You should be confused because they don't know. And I'm talking to you authoritatively. In case you don't know, I'm a pathologist. That's my job. You know why many people fall in that direction? They have no option. If you don't have God, what else will you do? You just, the little God where you get, maybe he can help you more than your ignorant self. But if you have God, and that's my message today, when you wake up in the morning, bless yourself. Bless yourself. They say from the age of 50, go for a prostate test. From the age of 50, from the age of 40, add prophetic word for your prostate. It's good. When everybody's going for mammography, say, how long is mammography? They say, maybe it's 30 minutes. I say, good. 30 minutes, the word of God for my breast. Not vexed. I want to sound vulgar. You go come out clot in front of a mirror. Say, you. In Jesus' name, I'm giving you mammography. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Ken Hagin will tell you that there was a time his wife had two lumps in the breast. They cast it. One died. The other one grew. The day they dedicated themselves to following God fully for their lives, next day it vanished. Think I'm kidding? I'm not joking about it. You wake up in the morning, talk to yourself. Talk to, they said, yesterday I was telling my students something. I was giving a lecture. I said, yeah, I've forgotten. They had to say old age. I said, forget it. I said, the only reason why I've forgotten that there's so many things to remember. I said, age is only allowed to do one thing to me, make me wise. The multitude of years will add to me wisdom. It will not make me sick. Listen, if I have to go climb this kind of stairs by the time I'm 90, my plan is to run up it. It's a plan. It's a, how are you going to walk towards it? I've been telling myself ahead of time. Oh boy, at the age of 90, you will run upstairs. You will run upstairs. I'm telling myself now. Are you getting my point? I'm telling myself now. We are discussing it with ourselves. You know me, my body, my head, we are talking now. Oh boy, by then you are 90, they must think you are 60 or 52. So that man is 90. Who? That one, 90? Are you sure? Yes, that's Pastor Banke. I have known him for 50 years. And that you are the one talking. He said, he can't be 52 because I've been hearing him preach for 50 years. Do two-year-old boys preach? How do we accomplish that? We start telling it now. We start discussing it now. What is my word to you today? When you wake up every morning, talk to yourself. Before you book appointment, oh God, people worship doctors. We have to start worshiping the Lord our God. To worship doesn't mean to just wave your hand and say, Lord, we worship you. You know what I'm saying? It's like giving me food. I say, Pastor Banke, I feed you. Bring the food, may I eat? Which one say, don't worry, I'm feeding you. What is this? Do you understand my point? Lord, we worship you is good, but we have to worship him. Not just tell him we worship him. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm explaining. What do I mean by that? Make an appointment to see him the way you make an appointment to see the doctor. That is worship. You wake up every morning, you have an appointment. What are you doing? Honey, are you not going out yet? I'm seeing my doctor. Are you getting my point? Let's take his medicine. All right, good. You wake up in the morning. Medicine for your head. All right. With long life, I will satisfy you. And show you my salvation. Swallow it. Amen. Mercy for your bones. I tell you that you will be old and full of sap. Swallow it. Where's the cream that the doctor gave us? You rub it all over your body. By his stripes, I have been healed. By his stripes, I have been healed. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I have been healed. You know, some of you have to understand why you do it. Not as if it's a routine, you know. Not as if you are trying to follow something. Look, take a cup of water. You know, there's what I think was John F. Avanzini, one of those men used to call faith extenders. You know what the faith extender? Something you do just to help, just to encourage your faith. You understand my point? Like now, you could say that and say, I want to take my medicine. You bring out a cup of water. You keep the water there. Bring out your Bible and be prophesying the word into that water. Are you getting my point? You prophesy. I tell you this water. Receive the word of God. You do it. By the time you do it, when you finish, you take it and drink it. That drinking is a faith extender. So this water is entering my body. You are going in with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You give life to my mortal body. That's Christianity. That's how to worship God. Not just to tell him, I worship you. But what you are saying, I don't know. I mean, how would your wife or your husband tell you, I love you, I love you? Every time you are talking, they are not listening. They turn around and say, I just want to tell you, I love you. What kind of love is that? If you hate me, will you do more than the one you are doing now? In the same manner, if we are worshiping God, it's not just to say with our hands, Lord, we worship you. We worship you, but we believe the doctors who don't believe you. Lord, we worship you. We spend our money the way our villagers said. We don't say the way you say. Lord, we worship you. We worry about tomorrow like every unbeliever, but we worship you. God, we say, please. I'd rather you didn't worship me. So at least you either be cold or hot. This is your lukewarmness in which you claim you worship, but I can't see any act of worship. Worship is not just to wave hands and say, yeah, let's sing it. No, come to church. This is the day. Say, let us sing it. Let's now worship the Lord. This is the day. Like one of my friends said, do you want a revolution? Who do you? He says worship. Why? Because it is slow. You're singing a crackling. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. It's not just a song. The thing we say we are doing, let us do it in reality. That's what I'm saying. If we are worshiping God, let's worship him. We listen to what he's saying and we apply his word all the time. Are you getting my point? Listen, God has a report about your life. Remember what I said by saying that prayer is to let God do what he wants to do. That's what it is. Don't ever leave your house in the morning. Don't be in a hurry. Alright? If you're supposed to wake up by 6 because you're in a hurry, wake up at 5:15 or 5:45. I want you to say, take the first 15 minutes and bless the day. Tell the day some things. So if you don't know what to say, tell the day. A child of God has woken up and is coming into today with the spirit and the power of God. She's not coming out alone, no. Angels are with her. All troublemakers, beware. I am not alone. The angels of God are riding with me. If I ride into Sambisa Forest, oh boys, move back. If you don't move back, now you go damage, not me. Do you get my point? Top 30, say, this road is dangerous. There are words you should not use. Use them for unbelievers. If you're on that road, you say, the road is dangerous. Say, not for me. I am more dangerous than the road. Tell it. You say, I don't feel like this. Who cares how you feel? Who's telling you? Who cares how you feel? Have I told you anything about how I feel now? I'm just telling you what is written. He said, the road is dangerous. Tell the road, I am more dangerous than you. Are you getting my point? Yes, the angels walking with me, they are more dangerous than you. I remember those days when I first came to Enugu, we wanted to buy a car. So, I said I want to buy what we call a V-boot, you know, Mercedes-Benz. Somebody said, thieves like it. I said, I like it too. Makes two of us. I said, I like it too. Ah, that time when we all over Enugu, I said, you will not drive me away from this town. God sent me to this town. I will drive you the criminal away. Yeah, no. Do I know them? No. Not just prophetic word. In Jesus' name, I'm the one that will be established. The wicked will not be established. Thus says the Lord. The wicked will not be established. God said, look at his place. Soon you won't find him there anymore. So I declare the word into the air. You will not be established. I will be established. I will dwell safely in the land. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you are declaring that those words are going out. They are going out. Now what shall we do? This place is so dangerous. Where do we go? Let's go to Switzerland. I'm not the devil. I will not run to and fro. I will drive you out. You get my point? Yes, that's the word of God. Hey, are you sure you feel like this? Believe me, I don't always feel like that. Whether I feel like it or not, I will declare it. No, that's how it is. Let me give an example. I've been married for a very long time. Many of you know. All of you here know. And if I tell you that my wife is always a good woman, that I'm always feeling like I'm loving her every time, I'm just telling you lies. But you know the interesting part? One of the things I have learned, even as I was alone, I would say, look, I still love my wife in the name of Jesus. I'm very angry with her, but I love my wife in Jesus' name. It's a behavior I don't like it, but I love. I'm not kidding. The devil has never been able to mistakenly, by chance, peradventure, in the midst of my drinking, drunken sleep, in which I sniffed cocaine inside the dream, and I fell into another dream, and I used heroin inside that other one. Has never convinced me one day to regret marrying my wife. It has never happened. It can't, listen, it will not happen. So I'm not talking about how you feel. It is what is written. You are getting my point? Yeah, we walk by saying what God has joined together, let no vexation put us under. You're getting what I'm not explaining. No, that's just the way it is. So how we feel is secondary to what is right, what is true. We declare what is true, and what is true will eventually take over how you feel. That's what I'm saying. So in the morning, as broke as you feel, as broke as you feel, declare upon the day, a blessed man, a blessed woman has woken up. Today I will be a blessing. Ah, listen, you know, people don't know how to sow seed. All these jaguda seeds we sow in church. Seeds of poverty, you know what I'm saying? Seeds of lack. People who are poor and hungry. That is, they are saying, Lord, you know I'm poor and hungry. Give me food. I'm giving you this money so that you will remember me. That's not Christianity. What did I say? What did I say? Let me tell you the real seed. The seed, the Bible says, is what? The word of God. So how do I sow a seed for prosperity? I declare that word. And when I'm giving, that's how I give. But I thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing. You said I'm a blessing. I'm not sowing anything so that you give me back. I'm dropping that one because I'm blessed. It's out of the abundance. Say, but you don't have plenty. Sufficient unto the day is that little that I have. And out of it, I'm blessing other people also. So you wake up in the morning, just say, hey, in Jesus' name, I will sow a seed today, I will reap a harvest. You know, Christians say, that's an Islamic principle. It's a law of karma. No, for Christians, no. As I wake up today, as I go about today, I declare that Jesus has paid for my prosperity. I'm a prosperous man, I'm a prosperous woman. A blessed person has woken up today. And as I'm going out today, I will express my blessing. Listen, God will, listen, it may be a smile you will give somebody, it will change the person's life. And that's not a joke. Something happened the other day, I went to work, and these are the things Christians do. We are blessed, all right? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, look, my peace I give unto you. And he now told them at the time, he said, when you get to that, I say, peace be upon this home. Peace is tangible. You know, if we learn the physics and the spiritual side of it, we could convert it by E is equal to MC squared into something. That's how peace is. It's a spiritual thing. It has a physical, tangible, you know, effect. So you have peace with you. Amen?
Amen.
It's there with you.
Amen.
You can use it. Yes, you can use it. And they use it to solve problems. And that day I got to work, I saw one woman walking like this. You can see the way I'm walking. You guessed as much. Her stomach was not my size. It was like this. Big like this. So I stopped. I said, madam, you're in labor. Because my department is just down the corridor from labor ward. And then you go upstairs. That's how I get to my department. So I was heading for my department. So I think she was taking a stroll. You know, they do it so that the baby's head will sink properly. She was walking like this. I stopped. I said, madam, you are in labor. She nodded. I think she just said, no. No. I said, you will deliver safely in Jesus' name. That's peace I give unto you. I didn't just walk past and say, ndo. What is ndo? What does it mean? Who knows the real meaning? It means nothing. Thank you. What is sorry? You want sorry? Ndo means what? Nothing, spiritually speaking. I didn't know the woman from Adamu. I didn't check on her after. I don't know. If I see her now, I won't recognize her. But I say, hey, wait, I'm a blessed person. So I told her to stop. I said, madam. No, I paused. So she, of course she paused. I said, you will deliver safely in Jesus' name. And I went my way. You know why? I'm a blessed person. That's my peace I give unto you, Jesus said. So I just gave a beat to that woman. That's it. In life, say, I'm looking for work. I'm looking for who's looking for work. I'm looking for who I will make rich. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Laban said, I have divined, I was talking to Jacob, that I have prospered because of you. I must be, look, anywhere you are working and they are happy to see you go, just know you are not ready for prosperity yet. Get another job. I don't know why you hear what I say. We are resigning from our office. And I let him go. He has resigned. Accept resignation. Let him go. Let him clear his office. Ah, let me give you advice. Go and look for another job. Unless it's just a matter of persecution for the gospel's sake. You know, persecution for the gospel's sake. If you are go and ask somebody whether it's persecution for the gospel's sake. No, don't deceive yourself that I'm being persecuted. If you are the one that thinks you are being persecuted, you are confused. You understand my point? I've seen wicked people thinking they are being persecuted. You are not being persecuted. You are enjoying the just recompense of reward. So, apart from the fact, from when it is proper persecution, you understand my point? If you are working the place and you are resigning and people are happy to see you go, you are not ready for prosperity. Go and get another job. Even if it's 6 months. And in that 6 months, work like you want to die. If they say everybody bought at 8, get there at 7:40. If there's everybody close at 5, close at 5:20. If they say lunch is between 1 and 2, your own will be 1:15 to 2:45. If they say quota, deliver, as an example, 100 units of this, you labor to deliver 120.